Welcome to the KPFA LSB meeting for July 17th, 2021. I'm going to go ahead and read our call us to order. I'm going to go ahead and read our Zoom instructions and our group agreements. So the Zoom instructions for participation are: for purposes of sound quality and communication without interruptions, participants are asked to mute themselves during KPFA LSB online meetings, and the chair or host will recognize one person at a time to unmute themselves and speak. Board members on the phone can mute and unmute themselves by pressing *6. The use of the Zoom chat option is reserved for LSB members only, so that board members are able to process board business without distraction accord. We look forward to hearing from members of the public during the town hall public comments time. Please sign up at 11:30 by raising your hand. Board members wishing to be called on during the meeting are asked to raise hand by clicking on the participant button at the bottom of the screen and then clicking on the raise hand button on the right, or to press *9 on a phone. Board members will then be called by staff. LSB board members shall use chat to submit written motions to the LSB secretary. Board members online may vote by Zoom, raise hand, or by roll call, or by email with a code when needed. And confirm LSB meeting and email agreements. Audio recording of the meetings is available at kpftx.org. No video recording is permitted at KPFA LSB meetings. Speak with each other respectfully using comfortable volumes. Focus on facts, issues, and proposals. No name calling or personal insults. Listen to each other with care. Honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic, following group procedures, and respecting the directions of the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking staff during meetings. Raise hands to be recognized by the facilitator. Honor individual time allocations per share and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions with answers included in the time. Honor board confidentiality. KPFA local station board members are required to keep all job performance information related to KPFA management, paid and unpaid staff and volunteers confidential, to be shared only within closed session LSB meetings. If a situation arises when a participant is not willing to honor the above agreements after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave the meeting or removed from the meeting. And I would ask you, Carol, you had an announcement you were going to make before the roll call.
Oh, I was going to make that before the public comments time.
Okay. So would you please conduct the roll call now, Carol?
Can I add something before that? It looks as though something changed, or Zoom was updated. In order to raise your hand, you go to the options at the bottom of the screen, go to reactions, and then you should see the raise hand option.
Jose, and also I, as a participant, can click on participants at the bottom and go to the bottom right, and I can raise my hand there.
Awesome. So two options.
Yeah, good.
Perfect.
Okay. I will now read, call the roll. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Sharon present. Marilyn Langlois.
Here.
Marilyn here. Daniel Borgstrom.
Here.
Daniel here. Christine Pepin called, sent an email. Chris Corey.
Here.
Yes.
Chris Corey here. Mark Van Landwit.
Here.
Mark is here. Susan Da Silva.
Here.
Susan here. Shira Dedman requested an excused absence. Donald Goldmacher.
Present.
Donald here. Christina Huggins.
Here.
Christina here. Lily Kimura.
Here.
Lily here. James McFadden said he would be here in the afternoon. So,
convenient.
We'll record when he comes in. Aki Tanaka? Okay, we'll come back to Aki. Andrea Turner?
Here.
Andrea here. Tom Borges?
Tom is here.
Tom is here. Carol Woofley, I am here. Sabrina Jacobs?
Here.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Sabrina.
You made it.
Hello.
Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Darlene is here. Tim Lynch will be here in the afternoon. Frank Sterling?
Frank Sterling has to be excused.
Oh, yes, that's right. Janine Utter?
Here.
Janine is here. Philip Maldari?
Here.
Philip is here. Mantra Plansi? Mantra is not here. We'll come back and check. Donald McClay?
Present.
Okay, I'm going to run through James McFadden is coming in the afternoon. Aki Tanaka?
I'm trying to call Aki, but not reaching.
Yeah, well, he knows about the meeting. Mantra Plansi. Okay, I would like to request that the board, that we have an excused absence for those who contacted us. That is Christine Pepin, Shira Dedman, and Frank Sterling. So that's a motion for excused absence for them.
Do we have a motion?
I made a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second, Andrea.
Thank you. And anyone opposed? Could you raise your hand if you're opposed? Do you see anyone opposed, Jose?
No raised hands.
Seeing no one is opposing, those will be considered confused. We're confused. We're all confused. Will be considered excused, so the motion passes. So move on to the agenda. Everything's very rosy all of a sudden.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion to approve the agenda? It was sent out ahead of time.
I move to approve the agenda.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Anyone opposed, please raise your hand. I see no hands raised. Do you see anything I'm missing, Jose?
No. No raised hands.
Thank you. Seeing none, the agenda is approved. And we are ahead of time. This is not like us. So since town hall public comments are time certain, we will move on to what would be next, Carol?
Okay, well, let's see. The next thing is the breakout groups and presentation to the breakout groups.
I could do my presentation.
I could do mine too. So if you want to go ahead.
Okay. Maybe.
Do you want to go? Carol, do you want to go maybe first?
Is that your preference?
I think that might be better.
Okay. So let me just do a little introduction to our town hall today. We will be having public comments first, and that is time certain at 11:30. So right now we will, and then we will go into breakout groups. There will be three breakout groups. And I'm just going to explain about the breakout groups now. There will be a breakout group on programming, and Darlene is going to lead that, and Sabrina's going to be there also. And there will be a breakout group on governance. I will be facilitating that, and Susan is going to assist with record keeping, taking notes. And Sharon has a breakout group with finances. So we will be having those breakout groups, and what will happen is there will be a box appear on your screen and it'll have those choices. And what you do, there will be a circle by governance, programming, or finance. And the circle is actually a zero. And that means there's nobody in the group. So what you do is you click on the zero or the one or the two or the three, and that will allow you to choose which breakout group you're going to be going into. And then those breakout groups will be for 20 minutes, and then we will come back and everyone will have an opportunity to write a note in the chat as our record for the breakout group. So all participants, local station board members and non-local station board members, can write. We ask you to keep it under 25 words if possible. So then we will go on with other parts of the meeting. So are there any questions about the breakout groups right now? Again, they're finances, governance, and programming. And then each of us will give a little introduction to that ahead of time.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How were the leaders of the breakout groups decided, that's one, and two, like, when was this decided that we would have breakout groups for this meeting? And why?
Well, the officers planning the town hall set it up that way, and Christina, did you want to answer that?
It's pretty much based on the last town hall that we had. We had a similar group of things that were the most relevant to people. So it wasn't just spur of the moment. It's a pattern that we've used in the past.
Yeah.
Can I just say something on that too? Our past town hall meetings have had breakout groups, and they've actually been nice because the public, you know, the participants get to like engage a little more than just during public comment. So that's been a really good form in the past. And then because of just the technicalities of Zoom and setting up the breakout rooms, we came up with these three because it seemed like topics that were relevant. That was kind of how it happened.
Okay. And so the chair shows the leaders of the group. Got it. Thanks.
Yes, and of course, the group just approved the agenda with the breakout groups. So I will go ahead and start. Darlene, you're there too, and did you want to give after Igo and Sharon speaks, did you want to give an introduction to your programming group?
Sure, it'll be very brief.
Okay.
And you said Sabrina will also be facilitating that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to be also facilitating. Sorry, Madam Chair, may I have the floor? Sorry, Ms. Sabrina. Madam Chair? Madam Chair, may I respond?
Yes, go ahead.
Sabrina's okay, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Sabrina.
Yeah, I'm not going to – I'll just be going off of whatever outline that you've set up, Darlene, since we didn't actually have any conversations prior to this meeting. So I'll just be going – I'll be following your lead, in other words, okay?
Okay, I'll speak to it. Okay, thanks.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I'll let the record show that Aki is here. Carol?
Yeah,
I'll
know. Hello.
Hi, Aki.
Hi.
Now, this is Sharon. I have a question.
Yes, go ahead, Sharon.
I guess I'm asking on behalf of Chris because he put it in the chat. But how long is the public comment period going to be?
We'll have to see a half an hour, minimum of half an hour.
Yeah, we have to see how many people want to speak, and we'll try to divide the time accordingly.
I see. Okay.
So we now still have 10 minutes. Did you want to give your report,
yeah,
Sharon? Are you through?
I said I could go first. Sharon asked me.
Are you done, Carol?
Well, Sharon asked me to go ahead with talking about the governance.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carol.
So, for those of you who may be new to the KPFA local station board, one of the key issues for Pacifica right now is the governance, and the outcome of the New Day bylaws referendum for governance reform remains unresolved. There was a strong majority yes vote by Pacifica listeners for the new bylaws. However, the Pacifica National Election Supervisor, NES, has declared that the 2021 New Day bylaws have failed because of a questionable staff majority no vote. This decision is supported by Pacifica's general counsel, who is on the air at WBAI. The listener members vote was 56% yes and 44% no. The staff members vote was 58.6% yes, no, and I'm sorry, 58% no and 41% yes. WBAI has the most staff members of 246. The vote count from each station has not been released by the NES. The NES is referring to an ambiguity in the current bylaws to rule that staff as a single class must vote yes for the New Day bylaws to secure victory. There are serious legal considerations being raised related to conflict of interest in other California laws and concerns that volunteer hosts and programmers for shows that have no listenership or very little listenership want to keep their shows on the air, and that they are supported by the current bylaw structure. What is to be decided is if the votes of 76 staff members can outweigh the votes of the majority of the voting members who are listeners regarding the future of Pacifica. So we can talk about that. There are other governance issues. There are issues related to the elections coming up. There are issues related to respectful interactions among members and how to deal with violence and threats that have come up recently at one of the stations.
I'm going to be quiet. I need to be
So, what I am, wanting is for us to have a discussion, and we will share the time among the different groups in the breakout groups. Okay. I am done. And Sharon.
Sharon actually said that she has a, her report's rather long, and we don't really have very much. We would only have about 6 minutes since we have a time search and public comments time. So. We'll have to look at.
And, Sharon, do you want to just do an introduction, and then Darlene can do an introduction?
To your group?
You know what? I'll talk about part of it. How's that? Because I have it in sections, so I'll do a section. Okay. My last comment is, maybe we could just start a couple minutes early because people are here. And then, of course, if people show up, we could go. I mean, it's not that far from 11:30 right now.
True.
Okay. But let me just talk about the audit, okay? And maybe if Darlene has additional info, because she's speaking after me, if she does have time. She is speaking after me at some point. She can maybe express more. But at the NFC meeting, which was on Tuesday, I did ask about the status of the audit, the fiscal year 20 audit, because there has been some conflicting information given about that audit. And it was explained that NETA, our Pacifica's accountants, had provided all the figures to the auditors, and the auditors had prepared an audit by June 30, 2021, which was the deadline that we all had been hearing about.
So what happened though, what the confusion apparently, this is what was said, okay, is that the audit was sent to a private law firm that Pacifica management somehow believed they were sending it to the attorney general, but they send it to this private law firm. I don't know. Okay, this is what was said. And don't understand why Pacifica management didn't know the difference between a private law firm and the California attorney general, but that is what was said. And so the fiscal year 20 audit was sent to this private law firm. And apparently, again, it's all vague. Nothing was very concretely stated, but it was apparently that the law firm told Pacifica that the deadline to file the fiscal year 20 audit is actually August 16th, because they had requested an extension of time to file the form 990 till August 16th. And therefore the audit was also due on August 16th. So that's what happened. So the audit hasn't technically gone to the attorney general, but it was completed by the June 30th, but it is being reevaluated or some, I don't know what the word was that they used. They're still working on it because they're trying to finalize the, pension expense issue, which if you remember, it was discussed in the fiscal year 19 audit that there was unresolved issues about the numbers for the pension. So that issue still remains. So I guess they're trying to resolve that issue so that when they do submit the audit to the attorney general, which I guess will be on August 16th, they're hoping that the auditor may remove some of the qualifying language that was apparently in the audit that was completed on June 30th of this year. So that is the status of the audit.
I think Chris said that he could clarify something about that.
Okay, that'd be fine.
Go ahead, Chris. Chris Corey?
Yeah, thank you. Because I sit on the PMB and Sharon doesn't, I end up getting a little bit more information than she does. So I'll just add some clarifying remarks. This was discussed pretty extensively in the last meeting, and I haven't had any private conversations with either Anita or, of course, the audit firm. But during the meeting, this issue came up quite a bit, and Eileen from audit committee said a few things. I think it's still a little bit nebulous, a little bit ambiguous about what the actual deadline is. Although we have people within the organization that are pretty sure that June 30th was the deadline for the attorney general. And there is some language that indicates this within the law, within California law. But Eileen was operating under the impression due to the fact that, this is kind of a thing that happened last year. We submitted our form 990 without any, indication of when we would get the audit completed. When we did this last year, and the state hated that. They want the audit and the form 990 submitted at the same time. There's a third form in addition. I can't remember the name of it right now, that all three of these forms are supposed to be submitted simultaneously, apparently. So Eileen was under the impression, correct or not, she's investigating this right now, by the way, that, that when she applied for an extension, that it automatically applied to the audit and to this other form. Now, having said that, Eileen was also operating with the 6:30 deadline until June 30th. So why she didn't mention this before June 30th is beyond me. But I think what happened was that as the deadline approached, people began to question the solidity of this deadline. And Eileen became convinced that it wasn't really as important as everybody seemed to think it was. So, like I say, it's still under investigation, but apparently we have until August 16th. We will find out whether that was wrong or not. I can't imagine that it would be significantly damaging to Pacifica for us to miss the June 30th deadline just as a matter of, you know, finance, I guess you could say. We've missed this deadline many times before in the last several years, and there's never really been any penalty associated with it. The AG just simply doesn't like it. I will report when I have something further to report, but that's how it stands right now.
What are the possible penalties?
I haven't heard of any. That's, and if I had, I would have brought it up. And And that's why I'm thinking that, yeah, I mean, this is what the AG wants, but if they don't get it, what happens? They're not going to remove our nonprofit status or anything like that. So
I could be wrong. I thought that was a possibility.
Well, it is a possibility, but I mean, they've never acted on that threat, you know? So I just don't understand exactly what the Attorney General would do. I think as long as we're acting in good faith, and incidentally, I should mention this too, that Anita mentioned that the 990 form will be filed early. So meaning like probably this month. So it'll be submitted before, July 31st. And if that's the case, all these other forms will go along with it.
I think that thank you for clarifying that. I think we're like, into 11:31.
Yeah. I'm sorry for going
okay.
on.
There you go. I appreciate your clarification, Chris. Thank you. So how many people do we have who wish to speak? Do we have a sense of that at this point? Can you let us know?
Jose has been keeping track, so maybe Jose.
I've got 7 people on stack.
Okay. And,
I have a statement to read.
But we're in public comment. Oh, the statement about the procedure. Okay. Go ahead and let them know we have to clarification from the NES that Carol wishes to state.
Yeah, and first I want to ask everyone who would like to make a public comment to please raise your hand. And that means to click on participants at the bottom, and this is for non-local station board members. This is members of the public for public comments. Raise your hand by clicking on participants and then go to the little box on the right that appears, and at the bottom it says raised hand. And Jose, you had another way for them to raise hand?
Carol, the way you said doesn't work for some of us.
Had another way.
Yes. The way that works is that you click on reactions at the bottom of your screen where it says reactions. And then on reactions, underneath that, there's a place at the bottom of it. It says raise hand.
Okay. Right. I wanted to read, so for our public comments today, we had hoped to invite all of the candidates for the local station board to have a little time to do a presentation about their candidacy. And 3 of our KPFA local station board officers requested of the National Election Supervisor for the KPFA LSB secretary, me, or the local election supervisor to have authorization to invite all of the KPFA candidates for the local station board to make a presentation during public comments today about their candidacy. The NES did not give the requested permission, and after repeated requests, the responses were contradictory and unclear. Please know that candidates do not have authorization from the NES to talk about their candidacy in this meeting today, and we do not know how that stands in relation to fair campaign provisions if people do speak. It is our understanding that anyone is welcome to participate, with that possible exception in regards to speaking specifically about one's candidacy. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. Okay. So, could I ask you to call on people for me, Jose? Cause it's harder for me to see.
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
The first person.
Sharon, wait, excuse me. Sorry, Jose.
Go ahead.
So shall I be timing people for?
Yes, please.
What time?
And how many people do we have at this point, Jose? Do you know?
12.
Okay. So half an hour.
2 minutes.
2 minutes apiece. And Donald, I think that this is time for public comment, but you're an LSB member. Did you have a question?
Yes. Well, I was going to respond to what Chris stated about the California AG being willing to overlook our chronic delinquency. That's a myth.
Uh, we're,
Wait, I thought she asked me to respond, so.
I just asked if you had a question, but we can go back into that when we go into the regular meeting, Donald.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. So, Jose, would you call on the first person? Then after?
Yes, it's Elizabeth Milos or Milos.
Thank you. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Yes, I'm very disappointed in the decision that is not allowing for LSB candidates to be able to make a presentation to the public. However, I will refrain from discussing that. I understand I only have 2 minutes, so I will let you know that basically I am very disappointed in the way that KPFA has been run during these years, especially and the tactics used during the by the New Day and by the information that was sent out to members. There was a lot of scare tactics related to the audit. There was also a lot of misrepresentation as to the reasons why KPFA was in a financial situation as it was, and I do not agree at all with the actions of KPFA in sending out the $80,000 to lawyers to assist the defense of the WBAI, of the illegal takeover of WBAI. I find that to be cannibalizing our movement of alternative media, and I am in direct opposition to the destruction of the LSB boards and the change in the bylaws that would limit voter participation. I also would like to say that KPFA has, for example, reduced coverage of labor media. In fact, Steve Zeltzer's Work Week program was taken off of KPFA, and now they're in KPO. Now he's in KPOO, and he was recently highlighted in an NPR station, actually, Your Call Radio. And so, if KPFA is not
That's
even,
time.
Thank you,
thank you very much. Jose, would you call on the next person, please?
Yeah, Stan Woods is next.
Go ahead, Stan. Stan?
You're muted, Stan.
Oh, sorry. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Stan Woods, former LSB member and, to the point of my comments, former program council member. I think recent coverage from the news department, especially vis-a-vis Cuba and what's occurring in Cuba, reinforces a need for some control over the program director and the general manager and the news director. And restoration, and which begs for a restoration of a program council. For example, when I hear on KPFA, totally out of context, and I'm not somebody who's uncritical of the Cuban government by any means, but still when it says it's authoritarian government and just rips and reads from the corporate media again and again and again, that disturbs a lot of people. And you may think it's just only a handful of ultra-leftists or whatever, hardly. I almost persuaded a couple young DSA activists to join, and they gave that as one of the reasons they wouldn't join. For example, one thing that it was said on the KPFA News that over 40 cities and towns throughout Cuba that have mass demonstrations, even the Miami Herald, which is the heart of Cuban-American reaction, and I'm going to say everybody in Cuban-American Miami is reactionary, but many are, doesn't even claim 40. So I really think there's a strong need, and I'm with Rescue Pacifica. We've been pushing this for years, and I really think hopefully we'll get a majority, and we can really push for a reinstallation of a program council, because we have to have some controls over the corporate media type programming, especially from the news department. Now, some say, well, the news department should be totally autonomous and subject to nobody. I don't agree with that. I think the coverage of Cuba, for example, seriously, at least it's on the fringes of questioning the mission statement of KPFA and Pacifica. I think it's very bad, and I think there should be some counter to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan.
Okay. And up next is Pete.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Pete.
Yeah, my name is Pete Ferrugio, and I'm real disappointed that candidates can't speak about their candidacy. But anyway, I'll just say I'm with Rescue Pacifica. And my comments, I'm also very discouraged over the last several years at the rightward drift of the management of KPFA right into the orbit of the Democratic Party. Gavel-to-gavel coverage of those impeachment hearings was an incredible waste of time and money, and it just gave the microphone on KPFA to a bunch of Republican and neocon Democrat blowhards. I live in the Fruitvale district in Oakland, and we've been engaged in a major struggle for at least the last 3 years against privatization by billionaires trying to take over our school district. And KPFA is completely absent in any coverage of this. And I've sent numerous emails to the program director and the news department. That's an example of the stuff we need to do if we want to increase our membership and our funding by going after the working class base in the Bay Area by revamping our programming. That's what we need to do. So, anyway, I'll just, I don't want to go over the time limit, but, thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Pete.
All right. Fred Dodsworth.
Go ahead, Fred.
I've spent, the last 30 years of my life in journalism, as a publisher, editor, reporter, both locally and nationally. And in fact, 20 years ago working at the San Francisco Examiner as a reporter, I did the story on KPFA, which unfortunately is pretty much identical to the condition of KPFA today. And I really, really, really strongly disagree with some of the things I've just heard. As a journalist, I have watched the news be corrupted by management. I have watched corporate media take control. And I think that the news department has to be completely independent. We may not agree with their choices, and that's fine, but we certainly can't dictate, especially non-journalists cannot dictate what the news should be. I am really concerned about our country, and I am really concerned about our community. And I think KPFA, which I have been a member of off and on for 30-plus years, is a resource that is too valuable to waste, too valuable to lose, and we all have to work together. We have to work as a team, because I'm, at 70 years old, sick and tired of these circular firing squads. We have to pull together and make America better, make the Bay Area better, make inequality a key issue, make racism a key issue, make misogyny a key issue. We have to embrace what we do best, which is fight against the machine. And I really am really hopeful that we're going to be able to save this station. I think that it is at risk.
Thank you very much, Fred.
Okay. Rodrigo Bravo Jr.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon and good morning. My name is Rodrigo Bravo Jr. with KPFT. It's unfortunate that the referendum is being questioned right now in what seems like Trump-like fashion. The concerns that were raised are part of the divide that engulfs Pacifica. You know, staff and listener vote petitions were agreed upon when the referendum rules were agreed upon. And the framing of the secretary right now is undoubtedly partisan, which is strange when within those same remarks, partisan management at the election was noted in another station. That said, though, this continues a trajectory where voices are being silenced. The majority of the staff voted no. And instead of accepting these results, New Day Pacific is now exploring avenues to erase their voices. And I mention all this because this is a pattern by New Day Pacifica supporters that have benefited tremendously. And right now we see it here at KPFT with a recent programming change that was at the detriment of BIPOC voices. KPFT proposed and implemented a schedule where only 5% of KPFT's primetime hours were devoted to BIPOC voices. If you break that down in those 12 hours of primetime programming, the general manager proposed devoting 36 minutes to BIPOC voices. That's 3 minutes an hour. That doesn't represent Houston. And meanwhile, based on a support email sent by New Day Pacifica, 87% of the folks on that email kept their show, received better placement, or even extended their shows. Everything was done with no metrics, no feedback, no teamwork, and no notification. Before my time is up, I just want to add that BIPOC Voices at KPFT does not condone violence, threats, or any type of malicious harm. If someone is hurt by the public information that was gathered and is somehow in their feelings about it, and they're worried about the empirical data collected.
I was doing the setup.
Excuse me, don't, no crosstalk, please.
I'd like to reclaim my time if possible. Thank you so much. The BIPOC Voices, we don't condone any violence. If someone is hurt by public information that was gathered over the empirical data that we collected based on decisions self-made, I think it's more a reflection of those individuals rather than an IP address. We've included some links there on the chat. Please feel free to contact me. One last statement. I'm going to make sure I make it my public duty as a programmer for Nuestra Palabra, Latino writers have their say, and Latino Politics and News with Tony Diaz to make sure that we're represented. All of Pacifica is on notice. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Liana Lopez.
Hi. Yeah, I am also, I've been part of KPFT as a program counselor, on the program council for 2 years and an LSB member for 6. I have not been part of KPFT since 2013 in Houston because of the horrible way that they make marketing decisions and the way that they treat their BIPOC programmers and just talk programmers in general, which happen to be almost all BIPOC. So I want to know what your board, your sister board, our sister board out there is doing to stand up for us. Because on the day that all of the media was here, the whole world covering George Floyd's year anniversary, that was a day that our genius program or general manager at the time ripped all of the black and brown programming voices off of the FM band without any talk to them, without any talk to anybody, without considering like public in general. It was a decision that has been threatened since I have been part of KPFT in 2005. And I want to know where the hell our boards are. Why isn't anyone standing up at this racist shit that's happening down here in Houston? That's it.
Thank you. Who's next? Jose? Thank you, Tracy.
Next is Courtney Wilson.
Thank you so much. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes. You're a little bit vague. We can't hear you.
Okay. I'll try to speak up as loud as possible. Solidarity, in the general meaning of the sentence, is a mutual support within a group. Pacifica Network is the first public radio network in the U.S. and is the world's oldest listener-funded radio station. The purpose of public radio, it is a public service and speaking to and engaging as a citizen. One of the main principles of public service is attention to minorities. With all that being said, my name is Courtney. I'm an African-American programmer with Houston Indie Media. Houston Indie Media is a primarily BIPOC collective based in a primarily BIPOC city. Our show was removed without warning. KPFT is currently being whitewashed. In the spirit of public service with the principle of attention to communities of color, I am asking members of KPFT, members of KPFA to show unity and solidarity with the programmers of color at the Pacifica sister station of KPFT. Help Pacifica continue in its true mission of public service. Also, to address the rumors of violence, I am requesting evidence be shown that violence has taken place. I have been given no such evidence, such as a police report or a named individual as a perpetrator of violence. Please provide facts to this violence. Again, I'm asking for a statement and public showing of sisterhood from KPFA with the programmers of color at KPFT.
Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Virginia Browning is next.
Virginia? Hello? You have to unmute yourself, Virginia.